You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host today. So I'm so excited you're here. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to see and hear from a great influencer in dentistry. And I've just gotten to know you, Aaron, in just in the last year or so. And it's awesome. You're going to really love this. So make sure you stick around. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time, because a lot of you joined our community during the COVID conference last year, over 38,000 of you subscribed, and some dental students, even people fresh out of dental school. I want to just do a couple things. Number one, I just want to welcome you to an inviting community where we're just all here to learn. There's no egos. You're going to see, I don't really know a whole lot. And so that's why I ask great friends of mine like Aaron to come on and give us the answers to some of the things that we're challenged with. So I just want to welcome you. Number two, I want you to do me a favor. If you're listening on Spotify, do this right now, or iTunes, wherever, go down and hit the subscribe button, because I want you to keep showing up with us on a regular basis. You're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new key influencer in dentistry, and we're going to give you some great thought processes so you can create a better practice and a better life. And I just don't want you to miss out on that. Also, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, make sure you go over there. It's the Best Practices powered by ACT Dental. There's over 13,000 of you in there, and it's awesome where the conversation continues, and it's just people helping people. And then lastly, if you haven't joined ACT Dental U yet, or if you're just struggling with how do I create a great private practice or just make my practice a little bit better, join us over at actdental.com. There's a ton of resources over there. We've got ACT Dental U, and every single Friday, we're going to bring you a great masterclass from a great instructor in dentistry, and you'll love it. And this week, we've got Dr. Nate Lawson. He's going to be talking about advanced concepts in zirconia. I don't even know what he's talking about, but it's awesome. And then you get 30 minutes of great Q&A with great instructors. And Aaron, we got to get you on ACT Dental U and over there. But I want to introduce my guest. And some of you have known her for a while. And Aaron, you and I have gotten to know each other here in the last year or so. And again, like you told your story the last time you were on here, your name just keeps showing up more and more and more. And you're a great teacher, a great influencer, you know, and you've got a very unique perspective. But I always like people to know who they're listening to. So who is Dr. Aaron Elliott? And then tell us about this topic today. Why is it so important?
Well, my name is Aaron Elliott, like you said, but I'm just a regular dentist, a regular person up here in North Idaho. And it was about a year ago when we had the shutdown that I was introduced to ACT Dental. So it's been awesome, Kirk, to get to know you, but also what you provide. Saying that, I get to see you in person for the first time next week as you are coming to our hometown of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to do a presentation for our Adult Dental Society. So anyways, yeah. I'm looking forward to welcoming you. But yeah, I have a regular family dental practice. I have a partner and an associate, two teenage boys, and a husband that stays home. And so that's a lot of the reason why I get to do what I do. Never thought I'd be public speaking. Kind of got introduced to it, recruited almost because of this mysterious thing of sleep. And, you know, sleep apnea implementation can be difficult. And so you go and learn, you get excited about the topic, and then you come back and there's a lot of great instructors and courses out there that give you all the tools, and you come home and it's like, okay, now what? So there are some hurdles. And one thing that really sticks out in my mind, my hygienist has this hanging up just on a sticky note in her operatory. And I took that and took a picture of it because what it said was complexity is the enemy of implementation. And dentists do one thing really well is overthinking and making things more difficult than they need to be. So my goal with teaching and T-Bone, that my teaching partner under the 3D Dentist umbrella, is the master of this, is simplifying, simplifying, simplifying. And so that's what we try to do in our course. You know, I try to give, hand over everything I have that I've learned, fast forward mistakes that I've made in the past, and just step by step, give you everything I have. But even then, it's like, oh, I almost take it personally and, you know, hang my head like I have, you know, not lived up to my side of the deal. But there's a lot of things that when you get back kind of get in your way. And I did a little lecture one time. It was like the Family Feud, you know, top seven answers are on the board of what holds you back. Right. And number one is always, and I recently took a poll on the forum that I mentor on from people that have attended the course. I took a poll. I'm like, why are you not doing as much sleep as you want to? And number one was medical billing. And yeah, medical billing, once you do it, I know it's foreign at first, but if you stick with it, every insurance policy has some sort of policy written out for an oral appliance. And that's how I treat sleep as we do oral appliances, as well as the help with the testing. So it is possible to get coverage. However, don't let that be a roadblock. You know, we, for some reason, it's so weird to me, and I think I might have mentioned this last time, is that we can sell an aligner case or an ortho case for $5,000.
Right.
And the patient doesn't look at the brackets or the aligners and say, this costs $5,000. They don't even question what our overhead in the process is. They just know what they're going to get at the end of it. Straight teeth, you know, a nice smile.
Right.
But when we introduce this oral appliance that could legitimately improve the quality of their life and their marriage and their health, they're like, that thing costs $2,500. I'll never get it. It's a consumer thing, but I also think it's a dentist thing. Like the way we're presenting it, it's like, we're not offering just this appliance. It's everything that comes with it. So right. Even if you just take medical billing out of it, if that's what's holding you back, why are we not able to do it at a cash price?
So that's right. And the reason you're on the forefront of this, and we present this all the time. This is not going away. This is a very important topic in dentistry. It's life changing. You change people's lives. And then the thing that I always see is it is the medical billing. And then like, how do I even implement this?
This doesn't work.
Yes. Now, you and I were talking before we went live. I want you to tell that story. So you were teaching, and you were teaching where you was in Texas, right? Or where were you?
Oh, recently?
Yeah.
Tucson.
Oh, it was Tucson. I'm sorry, Tucson. And you were down there and you were talking to a young female dentist who was trying to get started. Can you just tell us about that conversation and how it relates today? Like sometimes you do have a lot of things holding you back and you just got to get started.
Yeah. So there was some young dentists at this course. It was a group office. There was four offices there. And it was interesting to me that they were so excited to learn sleep. That's one thing they never learned in dental school, right? But there's so many forces at play for new dentists and things that are burdening them. And one of them, and I didn't realize this, is they think they're going to get sued with every patient. In fact, to the point where there was an implant that needed to be restored. pretty easy to do in dentistry and produce, right? Take the impression, send it off to the lab. And they wouldn't restore it because it was an implant that they didn't place and they didn't have an ISQ number on it. They didn't have a written signed letter from the oral surgeon releasing the care, but it had been like a year that this implant was placed, and they wouldn't do it because they were so afraid of getting sued. And I was like, have you seen some of the dentistry where people still have, people still have their license?
Right.
If you take care of the patient and do what's best for them, there are some jerks in this world, but to get to the point where you're sued, legally, it's standard of care. It's, and it's also, you know, clinical acceptable work. You won't get sued. They have to have an expert witness in order to win. Ask me how I know, because I had to go through the process. There was no basis for the case. And I totally survived. So they're deathly afraid of getting sued. And then the other is, you know, the, one female shared with me that she feels like she has imposter syndrome. Like she's not a good dentist. I didn't fully know it. It's just that, you know, you're comparing yourself. I said, you have to realize when I got out of dental school in 2003, there was no social media. So I had nothing to compare myself against. I didn't know what was out there for dentists. I didn't, the concept of dentist placing implants was foreign. We were supposed to be crowns and fillings. Anything else beyond that just seemed out of, you know, specialist work. And so now that there's this super GP and we have all these pressures from, you know, insurance not reimbursing, and we're increasing our procedure base, you do feel like you're behind the ball all the time. And then of course people only post like their most amazing work, and you're like, man, I am a crappy dentist, when really you're getting patients out of pain, you're restoring their smile, their function, you're doing everything well. You always feel like a failure. So I'm like, you just got to get out there and just, confidence is really what it came down to. But also one thing you never learn, and T-Bone's big on this too, is just patient communication and finding where the patient's pain points are. And I think that's a huge thing in sleep too, because one of the hurdles is the patient. We're dealing with humans. And if you even mention sleep apnea, all of a sudden there's just this huge defensive wall. But there's different ways to come at patients for dentistry and sleep, and learning that it's subtle. It's hard to learn unless you practice, but that will take you huge places in dentistry as well. You know, you think about the dentists that graduated dental school last in their class, and they're more successful than the ones that graduated first. And it's because they know how to talk to people.
Right. That could be a whole nother episode, because I think I know a handful of those people. But go back to this. Like you said, the fear of being sued. It's so true. There's only, I love this great profession, but there's only one thing I don't like about it. It's so fear driven. Like there's a lot of, and most of the things, you know, you've been doing this a long time. Most of the things you think about, they never happen, you know, like bad things. And you got to get started. Now go back to the imposter thing, because that does hold people back. You know, I just finished talking to Adamo, and he said the same thing. Like sometimes you can't worry about comparison. You just got to get started. You got to do your own thing. And looking at Instagram is not the greatest thing ever. And also your self-worth by what other people say can't be a thing. This is a real deal for dentists to get started.
If we all just got over, if we just weren't offended, I think that would solve a lot of issues in this world beyond dentistry. But I love looking at those things, and I totally respect the work. My practice isn't Michael Appice. I'm not working on these high aesthetic cosmetic cases. I'm treating families and keep getting them out of pain. And like I said, just keeping their mouth healthy. And I get to help them improve their smile cosmetically with implants and all of those things. So I think that if we don't compare ourselves, if we know, you know, what we're good at and go on that path. Like there's never a day that I dread going to work. I love the interaction we have with patients, but obviously we get upset patients too, but because people are just crankier nowadays. But if you could just learn to do the best for them and what they want, meaning that you learn how to communicate with them, that'll take you so far. And just know that you're good. Like the fear of getting sued is I don't even think about it. Maybe that's right. An Idaho thing, because we're not litigious here, but right. That's like the last thing in my mind. Is this the best thing for the patient, for this patient? Right. I don't worry about, you should read some stories of people, what they've done and still don't, and still have their license. That should make you feel better.
Right. Yeah.
Compare yourself to the opposite end.
For sure. For sure. You know, the education piece is huge. You know, you and T-Bone, you guys are fanatics about education. And so I feel like the airways, the sleep conversation, all of this, it's still relatively new to the game as far as, you know, education across the board. But once you start getting involved, it makes sense. Then you just got to put one foot in front of the other. And our good friend, Dr. Mark Murphy, you know, he tells a story about this all the time. He's like, could you learn swimming by watching a video? No, you got to jump in the pool and you got to do a few laps. And then you realize, wow, I just figured this out, right?
Yeah. So, maybe you're not ready for the Olympics quite yet, but you got to get started and you may stumble a few times, but if you know what the finish line is and know why we're moving towards the finish line, you'll keep going. It is a little bit of a slow brew too. It's not like you're going to go back Monday and deliver an appliance. So you got to prep the patient, get them tested. So give yourself time and grace as well, but don't think of all the what ifs. Don't make it too complex. Just make it easy for patients to get started, easy for your team to start talking to patients about it at the very least, and it'll come together. You just have to, I tell a story of, you know, me doing triathlons and starting with why. You're going to learn how to do something and what to do, but if you don't have your why, it's going to be easy to throw up your hands and say, this doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Now speak to this too, because again, this is a hot topic. It's very exciting once you get into it, but you can't do everything. You can't be placing implants, working on sleep, doing digital, like that's a lot. And you have what's called a sleep champion. So you've compartmentalized this in a little bit where you're not doing everything. You bring people with you. Even when you do training and you go on the road, you bring your sleep champ, who's a team member, right, in your office. And you're focused. And let me ask you this. I mean, when it comes to your core, you know, focus in your practice, are you doing a lot of things? Are you focused on this? Like, how would you describe what you're doing in your practice when it comes to focus?
Now, where we've evolved to, remember, I've been doing this 18 years. And if I could talk to my younger self, it would be have more confidence with the patient as well as and the team and in myself, but also to do more CE. I was slow on that. I had little kids. My husband didn't understand that dentistry, you have to continue to learn. You don't learn everything in dental school. And so I would just take what was free and convenient and local, but not really getting out there and learning more. And now if I got out, it would just be like, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. But give yourself time. Learn efficiencies and communication first. And then there's all these other things you can add. So it doesn't happen to have to happen all at once. But one thing that we've evolved into is this champion mentality. I've always been a very good delegator. And I know for a lot of dentists, that might not be easy. We tend to micromanage or think it's, you know, we're responsible for everything and we have to do all the educating. So I showed an example of my schedule yesterday, a two doctor schedule, five hygienists, and I have two columns of general dentistry and one column of sleep. But I have a champion for everything, meaning a sleep champion, an ortho champion, an implant champion, even a social media. I was like, I come up with an idea. I'm like, here, millennialize this. in hashtag we were talking about earlier. Right. My partner, he loves to do more of like the full mouth rehabs. I don't love doing veneers. I do the ortho. So we each kind of, even then we kind of have our specialties. So I'm focused on ortho sleep and implants now, and of course, general dentistry. So, but we relied heavily on our team members. We did a cosmetic case with our Sarah. My assistant did almost all of the lab work, all of it, while I was doing other dentistry. So it's just, it was a beautiful thing yesterday to sit back and say, wow, like this, it's just beautiful to watch the dance and the teamwork. And even going to do exams, the hygienists have already done most of the work. All I have to do is of talking to patients and teeing it up, that I don't have to spend 10 minutes in an exam, you know? Yeah. And we connect with our patients on a personal level where they're our family and our friends, not just patients. And so that's kind of what we have. But again, it didn't happen overnight. So you got to give yourself some grace.
Yeah. I love the whole champion concept too, because when everybody owns it, nobody owns it. So you have somebody responsible for even doing the communication around the sleep dentistry, like leading the charge so that you can keep your focus in the zone of where you need to be on a daily basis. That is awesome.
Well, a CEO, right? I've never been a CEO. Well, kind of a mini one or a mini business, but it's really the leads that come and report to them, right? They're not checking on the day-to-day activity at this level. They have people that report to them. And so that's kind of the structure that we've created, because you can't do it all. And if you try to do it all, you're constantly going to feel like a failure. And then you're like not winning at the office, and then you're not feeling like you're winning at home, and that work-life balance is unattainable, and it's stress. And that's what I feel a lot of nowadays is just stress, because we are business owners, we're providers, we're bosses, and then we have to be a wife and a friend and a daughter, and there's a lot of hats we wear. And I think we put too much pressure on ourselves and don't delegate enough.
I could not agree more. We're going to have you back, and you're going to do a delegation, like secrets of delegation. But go back. I want you to go back to this. So when you said you did the family feud, things that hold you back, you said there were a bunch of, so we talked about a couple of them. You said, you know, fear of getting sued, the imposter. So what other things came up?
So medical billing, and then the patient was one of them, because you're going to want it sometimes more than the patient, because there is a lot of denial. And so guess what? You plant the seed and you move on. There are so many people that need our help that if this one's resistant, that's not the place to start. You're just going to feel defeated. Like, and it is a male thing. I'm sorry, Kirk, but it's like the guys are like, I don't snore. So I even give like patient communication on how to kind of get them to see that they might have a problem. But there's a lot of people that know they need help. They just don't know where to turn. So, and then the other thing is they talk about, well, it's medicine. That dentist shouldn't be involved in that. I think we can get over that one pretty quickly, because who better than dentists? But working with physicians is different. Working in that medical realm is different than dentistry. And if you have the documentation and you communicate with the doctors, they'll start referring to you. But we never tell people to start there, because don't start expecting physician referrals if you don't even know what to do with the patient when you get them. So many dentists focus on how do I get referrals? Well, you need to start within your own four walls for the people that need your help there, and team members and their spouses and family members, just to get the system and the flow. The other is side effects, you know, like potential bite changes. Kind of get, you know, we were brainwashed in dental school to think that you had to have a perfect class one canine guidance occlusion and that would like cure cancer. There are some side effects to an appliance. Not nearly as much as surgery or CPAP, I think. And bite change doesn't happen in every patient. And if it does, they're getting oxygen, which is pretty important. And there's always, you can always find your way out of it. People aren't getting sued for that if you tell them ahead of time. Right. Then we also have, I think, getting people to see the value of it. So you finally get them into the test. They were willing to do that, and then they just don't see the value in moving forward to the appliance. So we kind of give some tools and recommendations on that. Is it how we're presenting it? We're not finding their pain points, right? If one thing I always hear is like, I don't understand. I talk to all my patients and I educate them, and automatically when I hear and I educate them, I think, well, that means you're doing all of this and your patient is somewhere else. Right. No one likes to be lectured to. So
yeah.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
There's a lot of things that I love your mindset on things. Now, the other thing you shared with me last time, you don't practice in some place where you've got all of these resources for you. You know, when it comes to myofunctional therapists, you shared like you're making a way, and you actually shared your bracelet, like you find a way. Do you know what I mean? So, and the reason I say this, Aaron, is because a lot of people might be watching this going, yeah, so easy for you. Like you've got all these resources. You don't have a lot of those resources. You're making it work on 3 days a week and finding a way so that it doesn't hold you back. Type of
correct.
Thing.
And some of that is, you know, is the delegation. So I'm still involved in sleep, but I'm not like in charge. I have someone that makes sure all those little details for each patient get checkmarked so that we can get paid by medical insurance. Like I said, if there's documentation, you'll get paid. I just think too, and one of the other obstacles, that this is probably my biggest problem, is no time. So you get back, you're excited, but then doing buccal pits takes precedence, and you never get the whole team involved, excited. That's a hiccup, is the whole team, or turnover. So not the whole team even knows what sleep apnea is. So they're not bringing it up or talking about it.
Right.
But then mine's no time. I'm working 3 days a week, so it's busy. And then right. I just never take the time to implement something. Like we finally got a digital camera, and I had it in the box for probably a month before we started using it on just even all new patients.
Right.
Why am I doing that? That's easy. We're already taking x-rays. Like we just setting aside the time, and even maybe taking away production time is what it'll take to make it happen. So one thing T-Bone says is to schedule an afternoon off, which is, I know, is a big step, a big ask. Schedule time off the week after a CE course like this.
Totally.
So pre-schedule it so that when you get back, you're going back over everything you learned, if you don't bring team to the course, and which you should. But it's really the team that gets things going, and I think we don't utilize them enough. So that's a whole handful of things that mistakes we make.
Yeah, again, you're giving us ideas for additional episodes. Like I'd love to see, everyone's trying to figure out, how do I create the 30-hour day, you know, and how do you get all this in? But I agree with what T-Bone says. I mean, you have to land the airplane and work on it on the ground. And I have found that our best implementers in CE, they go to CE and within 72 hours, they're having some appointment to review the information, whether it be with their team or their specialist or their lab, you know, whatever, so that they can retain that learning. I love it. So, and go back to the time thing. So, you know, only working 3 days a week, you're meeting with your team on a regular basis. Like, do you have regular team meetings on a weekly basis? And do you have huddles every day? Like, how do you do it?
So yeah, we have huddles every morning, and then we have a Wednesday staff meeting every week at lunch. Sometimes it's the same old thing, like we need to make sure we have narratives on our crowns and we need intraoral pictures. It's how are we going to make sterilization better? That's the eternal battle of of teams, I'm sure. But those help. But if it's a bigger thing to implement, then in the past, I was too afraid to ask, like, oh, they're already doing so much. There's going to be resistance. I'll just do this myself. Well, now the whole team, because we're not afraid of kind of cutting loose people that hold us down or drag us behind, we just keep searching for the right people. And we have such a good team in place that it's more of a, okay, how are we going to make this happen? Where I'm not afraid to ask them to do new things because they're willing. And I think that kind of held me back, is just not enough confidence or feeling bad about asking them to do something new. And that's my own problem, right? Turns out they were more than willing.
Yeah. And you're not always looking for consensus, you know, because you've got to keep stepping confidently in the direction that you want to go. You know, you took a lot of risk to be a dentist. It was a huge investment, you know? And I think one of the greatest things you can do is say, this is my practice. Like you got a group of people with you, but you're making the decisions. That's what a leader does.
There's a balance there, right? Where you don't want to be the jerk, but you are the boss. Right. But the team is also becomes kind of like your family. Right. And, you know, I think we have such a good balance of, yeah, we would go to the depths of this earth for each other. Yet they know that I ultimately make the decisions and they respect me that way. Right. But what I was a younger lead at the front desk. And I went to a baby shower, and she was in charge of the baby shower. She hosted, and she was doing those games. And she goes, what do you think, guys? And she's looking at 20 of us women. She goes, what do you think? Should we play the game this way? And then you do it this way. And so I kind of took her aside and I said, you know, people like to be led. Like, we don't want to make any decisions. You just tell us what to do for this game and we'll do it. So don't be afraid to step up. Like, this is your party. We assume you'll tell us what to do, and we're okay with that. So after that, like, I think she did find this whole new confidence of leading people. And it's not, I said, no one's going to think you're a jerk. Right. No one thinks you're going to think you're a B-I-T-C-H. It's okay to say what you need. Of course, you don't have to be a jerk while you do it. So I talked to you earlier about having your phone nearby. One thing that we always like to be as nice, right? As dentists to our patients, as humans in this world, but also to our team, we want to be looked at as nice and not a B-I-T-C-H. In fact, there was a study done about Heidi and Harold. Have you heard this?
No, tell me.
So Heidi and Harold, so they did this at a business school where they had a resume that was exactly the same. And all they did was switch the names to a female name and a male name. And what everyone said is that, I think I want to work for Harold because he sounds like a strong leader and he gets things done and da 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 da. Well, why don't you want to work for Heidi? Well, she seems kind of like a B-I-T-C-H or whatever. So we as women, I think, sometimes hold back on that end because we don't want to be looked at as we're bitchy.
Right.
And you don't have to be in order to lead. But what I want you to do is look up the etymology, the origin of, so Google, origin of the word nice.
Origin. No, I'm compromised.
Yeah.
The word, I'm typing it in right now. Nice. Okay. So I'm going to Google that. Origin of the word nice. Okay. Which is Latin. Not know. Am I reading this right? Ignorant. nice, stupid. Am I reading that right? Like
you are. No, you're reading that right.
It's so there's a graphic. I'm actually following the graphic here.
But stupid Middle English and ignorant.
In the sense, stupid from Old French, from Latin, necessus, ignorant from nisir, not know, other early since. Okay, interesting.
So my message tell me
what that means in your mind.
Stop being nice. It doesn't mean not to be nice, but it means that people are okay with you leading them, and it's not being a jerk to have certain expectations that you expect them to meet. And if you have to correct them, they have given you permission just by being your employee, by you signing their paycheck, they have given you permission to lead them. It doesn't mean be a jerk. It doesn't mean boss them. It means to hold certain expectations and expect them to meet them. And I'll tell you what, when I walk by and I hear my team member say, I love my job, or we accomplish like a really tough case and we group together and I'm just like, yes, guys, we did it. Like they get the same satisfaction that we do because we are in it together. And so if you think of employees as commodities, then they might not give that extra effort. The other thing is if you have to let someone go, I know it seems not nice, but that might not be the best position for them. I like to what I call celebrate our strengths. So my ortho champion absolutely hates blood. Well, guess what? I'm not going to make her help me with extractions if she's going to pass out. And so, but she's very, very good at lab work and ortho and all these other things that I'm going to celebrate her strengths and not just, you know, look at the negative. So I know I threw a lot of stuff out there, but,
I love
kind of a combination
nice
of, yeah, oh, nice. I learned that from my friend, Ryan Javenbach, so I can't take full credit for it, but it's pretty profound when you see it that way.
Hugely profound. And actually you're reframing for me today because I had a coach years ago say this, don't try to be nice, be clear instead of being
yes.
nice. Because what I was doing, and he told me this, you're trading one for the other. You're trying to be so nice that you're really confusing people. You know, because I would say it's no problem when it was a huge problem. And people are like, well, he doesn't care when that happens mm-hmm. when I'm like, so stressed out.
Or I'm what like, about if so-and-so gets away with it because she's too right. afraid to be, you know, the boss or hold her to what is expected. If so-and-so right. gets away with it, then, well, I'm, you know, I don't have to work as hard as I am. Or right. if I have had to be not mean, but hold people to just basic expectations. And I'll tell you, I got respect from the rest of the team because of it.
Right.
Yeah. So I might make one person a little upset at me, but if they really looked in the mirror and reflected, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have parked in patient parking when, you know, I knew I shouldn't.
Well, and you played sports in college. I mean, I think you said you were soccer, but like your favorite coaches, the best teams you ever played on, their goal wasn't, okay, let's all get along here. No, there's yeah. no score. We don't play with scores here. Everyone gets a medal. You know, you're like, oh, different team. I need to get on a different team. Like it is in the world, yeah. people do good things. There's accountability. There's clarity. And even when you go to a restaurant, Aaron, what you're saying is so true. Like the person that was organizing that party, I love a confident waiter or server. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've never been here before? I know exactly what to get you. Do you like fish? Yes. Do you like white wine?
I love okay. that.
I have the perfect comedy. I love it when a waiter,
I waitress, love that.
They guide you through the experience. And I also love it with a great healthcare provider saying, here's what we're going to do. And you can tell by the look in their eyes, they're really trying to help you. And they want you to be better. They want you to have a great experience here. That's powerful. And that's a big learning thing. And once you get that in dentistry, that's where you see your best hygienists come alive, your best chairs, your best champions in anything. I love it when a young dentist says more and more about what she wants and she gets clear and you can see she makes it happen. It's cool stuff.
Yeah. And I will tell you, I'm not the master. I'm not perfect. I'm not the best. And it's something, I mean, I've been at it 18 years, so I've had to learn like to find my voice, but I think a young dentist, if they look at a patient and they say, well, we could do a crown or we could do a big buildup, like me telling a patient they needed a crown was like the biggest thing in the world. Part of it is because $100 back then was a huge deal. And so it was almost like I cared more about that than the patient. And now it's like, you need a crown.
Right.
I don't ask the patient's permission. They, by them sitting in the chair and opening their mouth, they're already kind of give like telling you that you're the expert. And so it's like now with a picture, with pictures and all those things, you can co-diagnose with the patient so that you can lead them along. But, you know, I just say this tooth needs a crown. I don't even give them the other options. And I think there was so much of that hesitancy and unsureness in myself that it created confusion for patients. Like when I leave, they're like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a little bleeding. We're going to watch it. Watch it do what? Flips, you know, all
yeah.
You've heard all these. But Aaron, this is so powerful because again, I know you as an instructor, you get so much joy from watching anyone pursue their dreams. They come up to you at a course later on, they go, I'm actually doing this now. I'm so happy. But you can see they're making the steps. What else holds people back in dentistry from your perspective, either in dentistry or the whole sleep concept? Anything else that comes in mind?
I think we're easily defeated. And I shared this last time that when a problem comes our way, and I share this, is I'm like, okay, what can we do to pivot or to solve this problem? We're constantly getting inundated with issues. And I'm just like, okay, let's use this as a solution. And I just don't have it in my ability to really truly give up. Right. If it's important to me, we will find a way. And it's that pivot, you know, figuring it out. I got a new bracelet, actually.
Ooh. There you go.
new Tell design. People,
you told us last time, but somebody didn't hear it. What does it stand for?
Figure it out, stupid or silly, depending on your audience. So figure it out. Every day in life, we're going to get things thrown at us that doesn't go according to plan. So what can we do to solve the problem? If it's important to us, like, obviously every tooth, what if the cusp breaks off that you were doing an onlay on? Okay, then we need to pivot. So there's just, I think it's just that mentality of we will make this happen.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So cool. Well, I always enjoy our conversations. I mean, I think you're an incredible teacher, influencer in dentistry. I know people are going to want to reach out to you, find out more. I also want you guys to tell us about your courses. You guys have a whole new lineup of courses.
Oh,
tell us
about that. So we have a course in Raleigh, North Carolina at the end of March that's almost sold out, but interestingly, March 12th and 13th, is a more intimate group. So we really do want to get more people in there only because having T-Bone, like time from him in such a small setting is pretty priceless. But 3D Dentist also has a new retreat center where we can stay right there all together. And that's really where the real learning, I think, and conversations take place. So it's a unique opportunity, but it's right around the corner. I hope people are feeling more safe to travel. I have felt safe, but March 12th and 13th, and being a more intimate group, you know, we can keep social distancing and all of that in place. So that is a sleep apnea implementation. Even though we're called 3D Dentist, it's not focused on my course is not focused on technology. It's focused on sleep workflow. Not digital workflow, but sleep workflow. You don't have to own a cone beam. And then we're joining up with or using their facility, Implant Pathway in Phoenix for the West Coast people at the end of March. March 27th and 28th will be out in Phoenix. So that's not a huge ask for me to have to go down there and teach. I love it.
So for the benefit of people that are listening on iTunes, how do I find out about this, Aaron? Where do I go?
Great question. So 3D-dentist.com, and I'm the S1 Sleep One course. And then, so 3D-dentists, courses. And then my email, you have shown up on the screen, but my email to those listening is aaronelliottdds@gmail.com. The most important thing is you need to remember there's two L's and two T's and two D's. So aaronelliottdds@gmail.com.
Yeah. And I screw that up every time. I am so sorry. You always, it's like, as soon as I put it up there, you're like, it's two T's. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I know. I sound so defensive, but I kind of am. Not. No,
you need to be. You need to be.
It's my married name. So I'm just like, I just am always like, it's two T's. So.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So Aaron, you're the best. I appreciate you being on here. I'm so excited. And I think people are starting to go back into the world we're doing. See, you guys have over 100 people next week in one place. Like, that's crazy. And maybe things are different out by you, but I am excited.
They are.
I'm excited that in-person is coming back. I know you guys have, you're doing a great thing out there. So I'm excited. So make sure you guys check it out. If you're listening, I'm going to encourage you to check out Aaron's website. Keep following her. She's got some great stuff. If you've ever seen her speak, I know Datola threw you into the fire and made you a speaker. But you ran with it. So keep up the good work. I mean, you're doing a great, great thing for dentistry.
Well, and I know this was a hodgepodge today, but hopefully you gained something out of it. If anything at all, just know that you know what you're doing. You won't get sued. Take care of people. You'll find satisfaction in your job.
Oh, I learned a ton. And this one is I'm going to stop trying to be too nice. I'll do your report on how that's going here.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It'll be fun. Yeah. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you guys enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see from Aaron and other great opinion leaders in dentistry. We'll line them all up. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.